Hey, Bobby Manning here. Welcome to another edition of Dome Theory Windows Day. Back in the house, as well as Anthony Vasquez. And good timing on both of those fronts. Big additions for both their teams. Calvin Ridley heading to Tennessee over the Patriots. Patriots making a pretty strong offer, reportedly, of, I think, 22 a year window. And with the Titans coming at like 25. So
a little bit less, but. It's 92 outbid, over 4 years. 15,
they outbid the Patriots by just a little bit and land him. Everybody wants to talk about the millionaire's tax, Lindo, that came into play again. And as for Vasquez's Ravens, a home run kind of move with Derrick Henry heading to the team that almost made the Super Bowl and padding their backfield depth, which if they actually run the ball in the playoffs this time, will come into play. I will be very handy. So meanwhile, the Patriots are deciding to have Jacoby Brissett as their starting quarterback, which I'm not happy with, but we'll start with Henry. Vasquez, is this the move that's going to finally catch up Baltimore to the Chiefs?
I definitely would say it's a really big addition for them, you know, getting the leading rusher in Derrick Henry, somebody who is the preeminent power back in the league. I think it's just going to add another dimension to the running game, especially with Lamar and Keaton Mitchell coming back. That being said, we still got a lot of holes on the defense. The offensive line needs to get better, but there is so much potential. As far as catching up to the Chiefs are concerned, you know, you got to beat Patrick Mahomes. So again, as long as you reinforce the defense, we'll be fine.
Lindo, you bummed to see Henry go after all he gave Tennessee?
No, he already said bye to the fans. Plus, man, I mean, he's been here a while, you know. He's been here, what was it, 8 years?
Something. But you're not bummed to see him go?
No, you know, it's time that he only has so much longer in the league. So it's time that, you know, he stayed on the Titans when they sucked. Like he's been through. They didn't start well. They started when they were 9-7, right? When he was there, but it's only gotten crazier and crazier. They went up and they're now on the decline and trying to get back up again. And I think it's just time for him to say, "Okay, I gave everything I could. It's time for me to try and go and win."
Where you go from here?
They got Pollard. They got Spears. He's going to be the two back. So Spears looked all right running and catching last year. They obviously signed Ridley, a little more than you'd want to spend on a 30-year-old. But if they didn't get him, what they would be saying is, why didn't we get Ridley? Why couldn't we pay a little bit more and get Ridley? So I guess you just pay the extra if you're Tennessee here. Guaranteeing 50 is a little bit crazy to me. That's this season and next season, but who knows what they'll look like. Look, if this team makes the playoffs, no one will have any words. You can't say anything. And they had the second most money to spend this year, and they're spending it. And they got Pollard, they got Ouzie, they got obviously Ridley, they got Cushenberry under center, and looking to draft Joe Alt with the 7 picks. So I think that they're trying to actually put a team together.
Yeah, and with a new coach, we'll see how that goes. I'm still stunned they moved on from Vrabel, especially given that Vrabel didn't even end up anywhere else. I thought he did such a solid job there over the years. So we'll see if this is an upgrade with what they're going with now. Obviously, it's a new direction, so maybe you just need a new voice on the top of it there.
Another team. The big issue was that Vrabel did not give up on Tannehill when all the fans did. We all said, get rid of – we were saying, play anybody else. Just give him a shot. It doesn't matter who. You put Willis in. I don't care. You know, put Levis in. I don't care. Put whoever in. Just take Tannehill out. And it took Tannehill getting injured and then Malik Willis looking disastrous to actually get Levis in. So,
what's the word on Brian Callahan right now?
Not seeing anything. I don't know that anybody knows. Look, when you have Joe Burrow, it's kind of easy to hide, right? Kind of like how Arthur Smith hid behind Derrick Henry, got a head coaching job, and now another immediate OC job for the Steelers, right? When you've got a star, it's kind of hard to tell exactly how good you are. But obviously they see something in him that they didn't see in Vrabel. Unfortunately, Tannehill left 1 year too late, or maybe they would have kept him.
New quarterbacks around the league as well, bouncing around here. The Steelers bring in Russell Wilson. The Colts brought in a backup, but they're going to stay with Richardson. I'm trying to see who else here. Raiders brought in competition Minshew. For O'Connell with Minshew. The who else is at a quarterback here? Vikings brought in
Darnold.
Great move.
They'll be drafting J.J. McCarthy.
The Falcons brought in Cousins. And anything else? I guess there's still a handful of teams that are going to figure it out. Bears, will it be Fields? We shall
Someone
see.
Someone got Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah. Who's that? The Jets.
Oh, great. Yeah, so a lot of backups moving. Mac Jones also going to Jacksonville. Apparently the only team that wanted him and the Patriots in his place are going to draft a quarterback, it appears, and go with Jacoby Brissett. I obviously am distraught. I don't know what the hell we're doing here. I guess they know who he is, so that's great. But this guy is not good enough to win games, and you're going to end up in a situation that window where they're 0-4, 1-3, 1-4, however long you last until fans, maybe even sooner than that, start saying, play Drake May, play Daniels, play Penix or whoever they could pick later.
Zappy.
Zappy's still in the fold. Zappy's still in the fold. It looks like he's going to be unbelievably. Could be like a Brissett rookie Zappy training camp, which is so underwhelming. We had so much money to spend. They had trade possibilities, including Fields. Doesn't look like there's even a market for Fields. So what could you get him for? A third, a fourth, fifth, maybe? So
fifth for Justin Fields?
I mean, no one wants him right now, Vasquez. And how many teams need quarterbacks at this point? So and unless the Bears just want to keep him and pay him, you can get him for cheap.
They're definitely not going to do that. I mean,
but think about how the Steelers just gave away Deontay, who's all right. They gave him away because they didn't want to pay a $3 million bonus. I'm sure the Bears are looking to give him away so that they get something and don't have to pay him next year, especially when they know they're getting a quarterback with this first.
They're getting Caleb, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm holding out hope. Maybe Brissett's going to be the backup. $8 million's backup money, right? So
here's the question, though. Let me ask you, because you're saying you had money to spend. The only guys that really got paid were Russ by the Broncos and Kirk Cousins for $45 million a year. You wanted either of those two?
I wanted Cousins, but it's extremely expensive, and he's coming off an Achilles. So
$180 million.
I'm not. Yes, I'm not mad it didn't happen. But would you rather have Cousins or Brissett?
But you're drafting a quarterback.
You're drafting a quarterback, but ideally you don't want him to play for at least a year, right?
So you pay Kirk Cousins $45 million to start a rookie next year?
Cousins is tricky. Fields is more interesting because you don't necessarily have to pay him after that. But if he's good, you can.
But why would you get Fields knowing he's going to need a contract and get a rookie? Why would you have a two quarterback setup, like two quarterbacks for the future setup?
Because then
is good because you know he doesn't care. He can play, he cannot play. He's just getting his $8 million.
Well, you want to be good next year? That's the question, and I do.
You have so many positions to fill that it would take a true Moneyball miracle for the Patriots to be good next year.
So they have four paths. They can go get a Fields, have Brissett as a backup, and sit that rookie quarterback, or even wait to pick a quarterback until later. You can get an alt. You could get an alt. You could get a Harrison for Fields. You could do something like that and then kick the quarterback development down the line, get someone later in the draft. And just see how that goes, especially if you're just going to be sitting them anyway. You could draft a quarterback right away, put him in quickly behind Brissett, but then you're kicking back your offensive line needs, your receiver needs, stuff like that to down the line. Or you can go get another veteran, but they're running out at this point. So which of those three ways sounds the best?
Okay, so the first one, you'd end up with four quarterbacks, and you'd have two quarterbacks for the future. Bad idea. Marvin Harrison and Justin Fields. I've said it before to you. If you get Justin Fields and he's good and you sign him and he's good, you get a Moneyball movie made about you. You believed in the guy that people didn't believe in, right? The Baker Mayfield treatment, and he just got 30 for it. If you sign Fields and you pick Marvin Harrison or you pick Alt really, really early at 3, if you do either of those and Fields is bad, you don't have to worry about the GM that the Patriots hired. He's gone.
But what if Penix is good?
Now it's on Penix?
Yes. You're picking a quarterback at some point in this draft.
Then you don't get Fields. You either get Fields and you have Brissett as the backup, or you get the rookie and Brissett will be vying him or the first round pick that you get. You cannot get Fields and the first round. It's not a movie.
So the rookie should be playing sooner rather than later.
He will be playing eventually for the future. Brissett is there again just to get his $8 million. If he plays, cool. If he doesn't, he doesn't care. But if you get Fields, he wants to play. He's in his year. It'll be his fifth season. He's going to be looking for money. He wants to play. If you get
so
the
I'll
rookie,
ask again. You want the rookie playing this year if you're the Pats?
Why does it? Why do you keep focusing on this year when it's you're signing a
quarterback? Because it's either him or Brissett in that scenario.
Say that again.
Because it's either the rookie or Brissett in that scenario. So if it's not Brissett, it's going to be the rookie.
Sure. I'm not against the rookie playing. You don't want the rookie playing to me.
I don't want the rookie playing.
Okay. But still, if you sign Fields, the rookie is going to just wait forever. He's not going to Aaron Rodgers it.
He could wait for 3 years. Why not?
Say it again?
He could wait for 3 years if it works out with Fields.
I tell you what, if the GM goes to the either Daniels or May and says, hey, guess what? You're going to have to wait 3 years. They're going to say, I'm going back to college. Like, Daniels is actually in year 5. But you know what I mean? They're going to say, okay, I'm not playing for you. Don't draft me. I'm not doing that.
So then pick a Penix later and go with him and do that.
And have Fields.
Is this the craziest thing ever, Vasquez?
If Fields is good, let's say you get both. And Fields is good, you're going to pay Fields however many million. You're going to pay him $30 million a year and have the rookie.
Why not? You have money to spend.
Because on a quarterback, wouldn't you want to play the rookie though?
Top three pick? Why choose a top three pick on that?
You don't have to. That's why you could go with a Penix or a Bo Nix or something down the line. I don't think there's any. I'm excited about Daniels, and again, I'm not going to act like I'm an expert on any of these prospects, but I'm not excited about May. I think Penix and guys down the line like Nix are fine. So you can wait, or you can trade back. I don't love trading back because then you're really going back on, you know, what you get in there at 3. But if you're not going to pick a quarterback there, you might as well, because so many teams are obsessed with taking a quarterback right away, thinking it's going to change everything. And you just said it, Lindo. You don't have a good team. You don't have a good line. So what is seeing what that rookie can do doing for you, other than just putting that rookie in a really hard spot, having him struggle, and potentially ruining him?
Okay, let me ask you it this way. You sign Fields and Penix. Fields is good. You sign him to a 4-year deal for 25, whatever. What are you telling that rookie? What are you telling that now second year player? Are you telling Bo Nix or Penix, hey, guess what? You're not playing. We just drafted you. You're just not going to play.
You haven't proven anything and you're a rookie.
How are they going to prove anything?
He didn't give him a chance to prove himself.
It's not a waste of a pick, especially if you're picking it later.
But you already have Brissett as the back.
Brissett is irrelevant. He's
not. You signed him.
He's the backup, or he should be.
But he signed, and so is Zappe, for the record. You have two quarterbacks right now.
Zappe's going right to the practice squad.
And I heard that last season, and then what happened? Zappe. Right?
There will be no Zappe. Write this down, Linda. There'll be no Zappe chance this year.
Okay, but I'm just saying, he signed. So you already signed him. Okay, so you have two quarterbacks right now. You want to sign a quarterback going into his fourth or fifth season. I can't remember for Fields. Was he 2021? This is be his fourth year.
Yep.
You have a guy going into his fourth year. He needs to get paid next year. You're also saying, let's get another quarterback.
Yes,
if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. If you have four quarterbacks,
they have no quarterbacks right now.
Quarterbacks.
They have no quarterbacks right now because none of them are good enough. And the rookies probably won't be good enough either.
They have two signed quarterbacks.
Zappy's terrible and Brissett's terrible.
He's signed.
So you need someone who's actually good.
Two guys.
Two terrible guys.
No, I'm asking you. You need to sign two guys.
Yes, because one's a rookie who's probably not ready to go right away.
When would he be ready?
You would hope next year.
You just said three. Next year.
Fields. I'm saying if it goes really well with Fields, you can wait 3 years. What if Fields comes in and makes the playoffs?
Is that quarterback going to want to wait 3 years?
Doesn't matter. They're signed for
3 years.
Then
why pick him?
To develop them, to get them ready.
You just said what Fields if you is have playing. Fields. He has to wait 3 years. He's not getting developed.
Because Fields might not work out.
So then why get him?
You got to try. You got to try something, Lindo. You can't just sit here this year and be like, oop, we stink. Let's just not even try. Let's just tank.
So trying is signing a guy, giving up a pick to sign a guy who may or may not be good, and have signing another quarterback and saying, wait however long until we tell you to play.
That's exactly crazy. What that is.
No,
it's not
Aaron Rodgers. It's not going to Rodgers.
So what would you do, Vasquez, if you were the Pats right now, sitting at number three?
If you're sitting at number three, most likely probably take the quarterback.
Just the quarterback who falls to you?
Yeah, most likely. It's the safest option. Realistically,
I don't care about safe.
You care about winning. You won't.
Yeah. It's the Pats have too, the Patriots have too many holes, and they have $100 million in cap space, I think, at the moment. How much do they have?
They've spent some on their own guys, but that's what they started like with, 50. I think. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, they still got enough to make some sizable moves. So, yeah. I mean, there's no point in picking Fields and a quarterback at that same – because if Fields is any good and you sign him long-term, the quarterback you pick, you're not waiting 4 more years.
You could also pull a Lance and just trade the rookie at that point if you want, or you get a good offer.
Yeah, but Lance
then why
hurt.
Take the pick?
Yeah, Lance did get hurt.
And Penix has injury issues already, by the way, and he's old. Just saying.
Well, look at what San Fran got in Purdy, who they picked in the 7th round.
And look what the Patriots did. They got a late round guy, right? And he was really good. Maybe they should see whatever quarterbacks land in the 6th round and say, please God, do it for us one more time.
Well, it'd have to be Belichick making that pick.
Bring him back.
Yeah.
You're just playing all the old tunes. Bring back the old tunes.
I will say this. The way they're spending money right now, it's looking like it maybe wasn't all Belichick's fault the last couple of years at least. So,
see, when you didn't like a coach, you said, the coach sucks. This is what's going on. When you like a coach, you say, what are the players doing? Belichick, you were saying it's all him. The players were terrible. And to be fair, he was getting the players, but the players were also terrible. Now you'll see without Belichick, unless you say these are just the remnants of Belichick, it's still his fault.
It's still the remnants.
Okay, so I guess it'll be Belichick's fault until you fire the new coach.
I'll say this. Jacoby Brissett is not giving Mayo the best start to get off to a good year one here in his new
role. He's a good bridge quarterback and or backup quarterback. He is.
Is Jacoby Brissett good, Vasquez?
Jacoby Brissett is a bridge quarterback or a backup quarterback.
That's not what I asked.
He's not a starter, but you're not.
He's not a starter.
You're either, meaning one or the other. I want to make sure you understand that. Either going to take a risk on Fields and try and be Billy Beane, or doing what everyone else is saying to do, which is take May or Daniels, whichever one lands to you. I don't know who the Commanders are going for. Those are the options. Brissett is signed. Zappy is signed. Zappy last year was cut and practice squatted. And then they were saying, Zappy.
They fired him.
They brought him back.
Yeah. And then they let Malik go.
Malik was not an NFL quarterback. Don't even play this game. That would be a silly one. Don't even do that game.
I'll ask you guys this before we turn the page here. Three quarterbacks at the top of the draft. I know Lindo watches a good amount of college. Vasquez, studying up on these guys. Who do you like out of them? Caleb seems like the slam dunk one. Was better a couple of years ago, it looked like, than he was this last year. But Then you're looking at May, who, as we know, didn't play in the best competition this year, but looked pretty solid. And Daniels, who went out and won the Heisman in the best conference. But seems to be raw and developing in his own right. So out of those three, who do you like the best?
Daniels can't be starting development. He's old. He's not young.
So who do you like the best out of those three?
Oh, okay. I was going to say most likely. I mean, I probably would say Daniels. I mean, I like Caleb. His talent is amazing. And Lincoln Riley is known for developing quarterbacks. But it's just I just don't think he'll perform well in the pro game. I don't think his mentality is there. And Daniels is just such a dynamic quarterback. What he was able to do in the SEC.
I have a feeling he's going up too. Well to the game. Yeah. And that bums me out, because if the Pats got him, I'd be intrigued. May Lindo just doesn't intrigue me.
You didn't watch him play. How can you say? I don't know why you say this when you didn't watch him play on UNC. The numbers, which you've looked at, declined this year, but the play was still good. It's just he didn't have the outrageous numbers. Similar to how Caleb's numbers the season previous were super crazy, 4,000 something yards and 40 touchdowns. And this year was like 3,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, but he was still throwing touchdowns. They went 7-5, and they were losing those games, but they were losing with Caleb getting them to, you know, 30 a game, 25 a game, something like that. Like he was scoring well. You know, it's so funny. It sounds like I'm describing an NBA player. 25 a game, he's scoring. No, but he was still throwing well. It's just that his team wasn't that great, and he did have some bad errors. And maybe it's also that he cried during that game. I think that put people off.
I still can't believe like people that. Are talking about that.
I think that put some people off. I don't know why. There's some emotion.
And he's going to the Bears, And he's going to the Bears, who doom quarterbacks.
The Bears are a scary team, but they haven't had a Caleb Williams in their sights before.
No, they haven't picked one, have they? Or was Cutler one?
Say it again.
Was Cutler one?
Cutler start on the Bears?
Yeah, Cutler started on the Bears.
Oh. Yeah. He was their best.
Yeah.
No, I know he was at least the best. I just didn't know if he started. No, he didn't. He was the 11th, and he started on the Broncos.
Oh,
I
knew he didn't okay. Start there.
Yeah. Cutler wasn't from the Bears. Their 11 was Justin Fields. And Fields, for all our talk, we didn't even mention how he plays. He is not a great passer of the ball. As a quarterback, he's just not a great passer.
The argument for Fields is that it was so bad in Chicago, a fresh start will get him right. But yes, the production
here's the thing, though.
Has not been good.
The fresh start is a worse offense.
Gibson.
I think Fields could be good, but the offense is worse.
In New
England? It's just kind of like, I don't know. That's why I wanted him to go to Atlanta, where they have a fully set up offense and have a good defense. So it's not like he'd have to dig them out of games and such. You know what I mean? The Falcons lost like 6-1 possession games last year. They lost to the Panthers 9-7. You know what I mean? Like, so that's a team that you're like, he's better than Ridder and Mariota. Like he just is. But is he so much better as a passer than Mac Jones? I don't know. He didn't look that convincing. The stats are not on his side. I mean, he barely crossed 2,500 yards a season. The touchdown to interception ratio isn't good. I think it's like 40-30. His passer rating is low. We watched him throw interceptions multiple times to lose games. It's not pretty as a passer, but it's better than the current situation, which was Zappy. So you know.
Yeah, I mean, the coaching situation in Chicago wasn't the best.
That's why the whole Fields thing is interesting, because let's say you decide we're going to trade for Fields and we're going to get Marvin Harrison. If Fields is bad, then next year you're going to be saying, we need a quarterback again. So it's like, that's why you just draft the rookie this year. You take the better bet. And the odds are that several of the six big-name quarterbacks, Caleb, Daniels, May, JJ, Penix, Bo Nix, out of them, at least half will not be successful. That's just the numbers game. But you pick the best guy possible to try and beat the numbers game. Most players that get drafted aren't very good. So you just pick the best possible guy. So the best bet for the Patriots in a quarterback era, quarterback heavy era, is to go and get a quarterback.
Well, he better be able to hold up well and persevere, because it's going to be a rough first year if he's getting thrown into the fire. And even the best quarterbacks in the league didn't do that. Mahomes didn't. Allen did. Did he get thrown right in? But it wasn't pretty at first.
No.
So you're going to – that would be kind of the comparison for May. Like, persevere through a couple shaky years like Allen did, and then come out the other side. And I've heard him loosely compared to – Allen, you know, not in size certainly, but with the arm strength and the downfield ability. So
I hope we'll see. Isn't the pitch that the GM is telling Drake May. I hope it's not. Hey Drake, look, it's gonna be bad, man. We're not gonna be straight up, it's gonna be ugly, Drake. No, you should be saying, Drake, we got a lot of upside potential here.
Well, you know what? If you were handing him Ridley and a new offensive line and some real additions, I think you could argue that, but this team has
You resigned
right
on Wenu.
Great. From the line last year, that was a disaster.
Do you want linemen or not? You got a guy.
No, I'm glad they kept him. And the defense is solid, but man, the offense, like you said, Fields would be entering a better situation. No, the defense looks good. Mayo ran it last year, so that should be good. But man, you need this quarterback thing to come through, and Brissett doesn't have me too excited. Let's take a quick.
He is the backup.
Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Use the code CLNS for the first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Give it a try. We really need you to come through right now. Show them some support. Show us some support by trying this out. And the code easy right when you sign up, CLNS. Just plug it right in there at prizepicks.com/CLNS. Again, you'll get up to $100 in a deposit match, 100% match. It's the CLNS, prizepicks.com/CLNS. Check them out. Really fun app. So check it out. And with that, we're going to shift over to basketball. Wrap up the show here. A lot of people have thoughts. NBA stepping in maybe here to decrease scoring that got criticized at the start of the year. Some games going into like the 150s at a certain point this year. Over the last couple of weeks here, we've seen an 85 to 73 game, something like that, between the Sixers and Knicks. I know we just were watching Nuggets Heat that came out to 88-100. In favor of the Nuggets there. So we're seeing some, you know, 90-style scores here. You know, I don't have the stats right in front of me in terms of where the scoring's actually gone down, but I do believe free throw shooting has gone down since the break across the league here. So as there are reports out there that the league is going to look into ways to make defense more competitive, I know Nikola Vucevic was excited about that. Do you actually want to see less scoring in the NBA, Vasquez? Oop, I got Vasquez on mute. There you go.
Perfect. Do I want to see less scoring in the league? Probably. You know, every year the scoring record seems to be broken. I know earlier this year, I think the top four or five teams had broken the scoring record. So, yeah, you might have to. I mean, Luka Doncic is averaging 34 points a game right now. The year before, Embiid averaged 33. This year, he was averaging 36. 40 is the new 30. So the fact that we had two 70-point games this year, like, that's pretty crazy.
And it's hard to tell how seriously to take it, Linda.
You know, low scoring, and let me just say, I said it to you before, the second team, because I think the Timberwolves are somewhere around 110 a game, best defense. The second best defense in the league is around 112 a game. And
Celtics, baby.
That's second. And in 2017, the Lakers were the worst defense at the same number. So it's not like scoring has really, really gone down. We've just seen a couple, you know, we've just seen some Thibodeau masterclasses on defense. That's what we've really been checking into.
The only guy left who cares.
Yeah, that's what we saw. It was the lowest scoring game since 2016, right? That 79-73 or something like that. Here's the thing. We sit here and we say we want to see more defense. We want to stop these scoring, crazy scoring games. And then when you have a game like that Knicks game, everyone says this game sucks. What is it, 1993? We want to see that. In the same way that people say we want to see the underdogs, we want to see the little guys. And then when they put the underdogs and the little guys on TV, they say this sucks. Bring back the really good players. We want to see the good teams. So it's one of those things that fans always say. I do think that they're partially right, that there is a sentiment that we should not be seeing these outrageous scoring games. I mean, I tell you guys, a game is fake to me as soon as a team scores.
Yeah, you don't like the 70 half.
Yeah, because I remember back in the day, 70 at half meant your team was having the best game ever. And now 70 at half is like a regular occurrence on a daily basis. So as soon as a team has 70 in a game at halftime, I say, this game is fake. So there is a market, obviously, for us to be like, we need to see better looking games. But if they really do draw it back, I bet fans are going to say, whoa, look how these guys are losers. You know, this guy only scores 17 a game and he's making $30 million. I'm sure they're going to – the increase in money kind of goes with the increase in scoring. Like the better a player is in affecting the game, which is by scoring, the more money they make. So I will think it's going to be ridiculous if we start seeing Tobias Harris money and Tobias Harris score lines as the usual thing. That should be the exception, not the rule. But they got to do something. I know you said free throws are down. They're not calling as many fouls, something like that. It should be looking a little bit better. You know what? Maybe they'll bring back hand checking. Maybe they'll say, we're taking that rule out. You can hand check.
Well, they've done some things effectively. They got rid of those stupid fouls where guys are jumping in the players. I think they did a good job with that.
Not the rip, though. The rip is not gone. They fake changed it, but players still do it, and they just call it on the ground. But it's not gone.
Right, and as they should. So I think you allow defenders to have right to their space as well, because so many players are just tossing themselves into crowds, as Embiid does, as Luka does, as many players do, and just going on a parade to the free throw line. So it's difficult. It's on the officials. I'm not for the silly stuff like getting rid of the corner three and bringing the line back or whatever stupid ideas people have in the sense of changing the court. But, you know, you could probably do some things with the lane maybe. But a lot of it does come back to the officiating. So whatever they're doing right now, if they are doing anything, is working. Because like you said, Lindo, I don't want an extreme, but I do want some happy medium, especially where, as you said, stats themselves are inflated. You don't know what to take seriously. You don't know what's impressive. And you don't know what's inflated even by however they've opened the game up for offensive players. And a lot of it is the skill. I mean, these teams are ridiculous with the five players they put out there in terms of the skill sets now compared to in the past. You probably didn't have to guard three, sometimes four players out at the line. Now you have to guard everybody. So I understand the skill set too, which I think is in a good place. We'll wrap it here with some bad news.
Wait. Before that, very, very quickly. As a guy who loves the Celtics, don't you feel a little bit conflicted that your team is launching threes every game and they're making them? They're one of the best offenses in the league. Don't you feel a bit conflicted that the way your team has found success is we're just going to launch a ton of threes every game?
Yeah, and I don't like it. I don't like that style.
But it wins.
Yeah, and I don't like it. This year has been better than last year because I think they've actually done it less and gone to the post more and found some other ways to find success offensively. And, you know, I've read about this at Sloan. They do Sloan every year, the sports analytics conference. And there were a lot of papers there this year. I think The Athletic wrote this, that there was – like a mathematical proof that more threes, better offense. But as you've increased threes to, let's say, close to 60 a game in some cases, your advantage depreciates a little bit because you're getting fouled more. Because foul is the most efficient, right? Going to the free throw line, you're hitting like 80%. That's the most efficient, but you're getting fouled less shooting that many threes. So teams that have gone to the extreme, and there's a lot more variance outside the three-point line, obviously, too. So Joe has even said that this year, that he's noticing some teams are just strictly leaning on variance. Celtics are trying to do that less. And I think it'll be interesting to see into the future teams grapple with the fact that you can't just take 70 threes once teams are taking 50 and then 60. And I guess you can, but then you're losing all the advantages of going inside and getting fouled and shooting 60, 70% at the basket. So there's a balance to all of it. And it looks like they're starting to find it a little bit right now. But yeah, you're right. More threes than ever before. It can be a tough watch. That Nuggets-Celtics game, we talked about it, Linda. I think we talked before it. That was great. One team shot like 25 from three, took like 38. I think the Nuggets took like 20 and shot like 19% on them. That was a great game because they're all inside.
It was great to see them not make the threes.
Yeah, but they had to go inside, both teams did, to find their scoring, and it was a little bit of a different style. That's one of my problems with the game right now is there really aren't a lot of individual unique styles. A lot of the games look the same. A lot of the best players play the same style. So I want to see it shaken up a little bit, but not an extreme. I don't want the 90s stuff, certainly, here. But we're going to wrap up the show with this. Of course, it's Dome Theory, and we're going to talk about the demise of Syracuse against NC State in the second round of the ACC tournament. We've talked about it, Lindo. Good season. Commendable performance by Adrian Autry in his first season. But you wanted to see them go out fighting a little bit more than this. And they did not put up a good fight in the Clemson game, did not put up a good fight in their first ACC tournament game here, at least in the second half. And they faded pretty badly in this game and didn't even come close to probably having to win this tournament again in the March. But you know, maybe you get to the semifinals and win that and you at least have a better conversation here. To lose to NC State, who you beat twice during the year and handled pretty well, that's tough. And they looked overwhelmed at times in this one.
And a team that had lost four straight games in the ACC before the tournament started. I'm still emotional. Vasquez, what do you have on Syracuse, man?
Do you enjoy this year, Vasquez?
I mean, listen, I think after a half century of Boeheim, I think anything was okay. And it wasn't a complete disaster aside from the Benny Williams situation. But aside from that, you know, it worked out pretty well.
Best regular season in 10 years for Syracuse in Autry's first year. And again, in the beginning, we were like, what is he doing? I don't know what his style is. And at the end of the day, he had an issue with Mintz. He got that worked out, took him out. He had an issue with Benny, suspended him. Had another one, said, how about you just go? Right? So he really handled the personnel well. He developed his own style, mixing man and zone in the games, and he relied a lot on Mintz, but somehow got the other guys going. You know, Chris Bell shooting so well from three, Malik Brown playing well, Starling growing into the game, even though we were unsure as it started about the hometown kid. Kadir Copeland going from a jack of no trades to a real utility player who really can do. He can rebound, he can pass, he can play defense.
What year is he in?
Shoot, I think he'll be a junior next year.
Okay, I'm going to enjoy two more years of him.
So he really
Brown, too.
He put together a really good season, Autry did. And so whether they won or lost tonight, I would hope it wouldn't be embarrassing like it was. But whether they won or lost, the season's success was already evident. Best season in 10 years in year one with a team that we thought they're not going to do anything.
And much like your Lakers, it's tough to have no three-point shooting outside of Bell.
No reason for you to bring that team up. There's
no it's similar. Crazy. Watching them, they have no 3-point shooting team personnel in Syracuse.
They were the worst 3-point shooting team in the ACC.
And you can see it tonight. They weren't guarding those guys, so that makes it tough. Their offense really struggled at times, and it's too bad because much like Sean Tucker, who was on the football team for 2 years and did record things, I felt like they wasted 2 years of Mintz here. They were fortunate to get a second. And it looked like they had some hope with that roster, unlike last year. But no tournament games for Judah Mintz. That doesn't feel right.
Can I give our mutual 2020 hindsight?
What?
Imagine we had Jesse Edwards this season.
It's crazy because I feel like they'd be one of the best teams in the country.
500K to bring him back. And I understand why they didn't. They thought the team was going to suck, so why bring one guy back? Didn't know if Mintz was going to the draft or not, etc. I get it, but 2020 hindsight, if this team had Jesse Edwards, we would have won several more games. I don't know how many.
They would have been in the tournament at the very least.
Say it again?
Yeah. They would have been in the tournament at the very least.
So, but next season, we got a five-star. And then the season after that, we're getting Keon Anthony. And your new coach. No.
New head coach, Melo.
You know, that's my dream. Hey, things don't work out with Audrey. Nah, I'm wishing the best for Audrey.
Thank you.
He's Windows A.
One year in, Bobby. Give the black man some time, Bobby.
He's Windows A.
I gave Boeheim 50 years. The black man can't get two.
Adrian Autry's first year was a success. No doubt about it. And I'm looking forward to March of next year, because 3 years out of the tournament's tough. He's Anthony Vasquez, Windows A, as always here. Appreciate you guys. Check out the podcast on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get it. Check out Prize Picks. Again, that code's CLNS when you sign up, prizepicks.com/CLNS. I'm Bobby Manning. We're back after Suns Celtics tonight when you hear this. And we will talk to you then and here on Dome Theory in about a week or so. See you guys.